This is the Morrow Midday Show.
But wait, there's more.
On ESPN Radio.
Guess who's back again. Sadie's back. Tell a friend. Guess who's back.
Hour three of the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. Coming up, we may put a hypothesis to the test in the NBA. There may be a new disruptor in the NBA. Get to that and circle back to my Dante Inferno's clutch hell, whatever you want to phrase it. If you ever miss anything from the show, you can always catch it on demand. ESPN Radio Charleston, however you listen to your podcast. The Morrow Midday Show is brought to you by Baker Roofing. They have been in business for over 100 years, and they're one of the largest, most recognized roofing contractors in the U.S. Baker Roofing provides residential and commercial roofing, and in 1915 was founded on the promise of always good work. So give our friend Matt Johnson, General Manager of Baker Roofing Charleston, a call, or head on over to BakerRoofing.com for more information. You can also check out their incredible history at BakerRoofing.com as well. Over 100 years of always good work, Baker Roofing bringing you the Morrow Midday Show each and every day. Coming up a little bit later on is tonight the biggest game for the Hawks in a generation. We'll get to that. But I do want to talk about the NBA playoffs. And what we saw last night, the Bucks finally won a game in that series. They'll try to make it a series. We'll see what happens on Sunday. If the Bucks win on Sunday, we got an even series. Okay, now we can talk about it. But I imagine the Nets will come back, win on Sunday, take a 3-1 lead, and last night is just a blip in this whole thing. Right? Because without James Harden on the road, the Nets still had a good chance to win that game. Coming down to the final possession, they were down 20 in the first half, still came back, had a chance to win. They shot 35%. That probably won't happen again. Joe Harris was just one of 11. Probably can't count on that. But on the flip side, I give credit to Giannis and Chris Middleton for stepping up because they have not been great in the postseason, including this year. And while their supporting cast provided nothing last night, those two were excellent carrying the team and beating the best team in the league to, at least for the time being, keep their season alive. Big performances there. And speaking of big performances, in the nightcap, we saw another great performance from Donovan Mitchell as the Jazz go up 2-0 on the Clippers. And once again, the Clippers, for the second straight round, they're behind 2-0, and we'll see if they can make some sort of comeback here. But Donovan Mitchell and the job he's done against, I believe, the best team in the West. I know the Jazz are the number one seed, but I think the Clippers, on paper, are a better team. The Jazz may prove me wrong and may do so because of Donovan Mitchell. Had another big game last night, scored almost 40 points. We've been talking today and really throughout the week about summer vacation. Because if you were a kid, there was no better time than getting out of the school year and having your summer vacation. But the one bad part about it was the summer reading. At least if you were of a certain age. I had to deal with summer reading. Now, these books we didn't read during summer reading, but we read them throughout high school. And there are certain books that I'm sure everyone has read over the years through their education, right? Like Death of a Salesman. We read that and then even watched the movie. We read The Great Gatsby and then watched the movie. That was always the good part. Like, I got to read this crappy book, but at least we get to watch a movie afterwards. And movie day in school was always the best. The Death of a Salesman, The Great Gatsby, The Canterbury Tales, Catcher in the Rye. And then Dante's Inferno was another one I remember reading. And I also remember afterwards, Dante's Inferno, we had an assignment in which we had the teacher played a bunch of songs, and we had to relate those songs to Dante's Inferno, which I thought was a pretty interesting assignment. And I remember one of the songs was Free Fallin' by Tom Petty. And if you listen to the show, you know I love Tom Petty. But I thought that was a pretty cool assignment. I actually looked forward to English class that day. We're going to listen to music, and we're going to try to compare it to Dante's Inferno, which we kind of do around here on the show. I take other examples from entertainment or life and try to compare it to the sports world. So I like that assignment. But we read Dante's Inferno, and you probably did as well. And, you know, it's about the seven rings or seven circles of hell. and you couldn't get out of them. Once you were there, you couldn't get out. And when you look at sports, you could look at clutchness, the clutch gene, the same way. The difference is when it comes to the levels of clutchness for athletes, they can move from ring to ring, from level to level. You can adjust those things. You can rise, you can fall. But there are also these rings, these levels of clutchness when it comes to athletes. And that top level are your great athletes, the greatest to ever do it, who are also the greatest to ever do it. Actually, they get even better in the playoffs, like a Michael Jordan or a Mariano Rivera, whose ERA was a third in the postseason of what it was in the regular season. They were already the greatest at what they did in the regular season, and somehow they elevated it to another level in the playoffs. They got even better in the postseason. You didn't think they could get any better. Somehow they did, and they did so in the biggest moments. For Mariano Rivera, right, at least outside of 2001 and 2004. But he had a 0.7 ERA in the playoffs. Michael Jordan, after the 80s, and he had big performances in the 80s, that series against the Celtics when he dropped 61 on them in the Boston Garden, he then went 6-for-6 in the NBA Finals in the 90s. And their individual performances were incredible. The next level is great players who become all-time greats. Right? They're already good, but they get really good in the postseason. Curt Schilling is the obvious example. It's why it's the lone reason. That reason alone should put him in the Hall of Fame. I don't even care what he did in the regular season. Look at his postseason numbers and tell me he's not a Hall of Famer. He's one of the clutchest pitchers we've ever seen. Prior to Curt Schilling, you had Fernando Valenzuela in the 80s. Same idea. Good pitcher, but in the postseason, he was as good as anybody on the mound. Then the next level would be great players that continue to be great. They're just consistent. They don't necessarily elevate their game, but they're really good in the regular season. They're really good in the playoffs. Guys like Derek Jeter and Kobe Bryant, they're good all the time. And then you get to the next level of guys who are not really good, but are really clutch, like an Eli Manning. Right? In the regular season, you think, like, how does this guy should even be a starter? But come playoff time, he's going on the road. He's beating Brett Favre. They're winning in Tampa. They beat the undefeated Patriots. He's making these crazy throws. Suddenly, he never turns the football over. Right, Louis Soho was another guy. They're average players. There's plenty of examples you could point out of role players. But for some reason in the playoffs, they got the big hits. They made the big plays. And then you cross over to the worst part of these levels of clutchness, the bottom level, which is the lowest level of these the clutchness, where you are a great player until the big moment, like a Peyton Manning, like an Alex Rodriguez, like currently Paul George. Great in the regular season, you take a step back in the postseason. And I bring all this up because for Donovan Mitchell, he fits in one of those top circles. He's a good player. I wouldn't say he's a great player in the regular season. He's not a top 10 player. But come playoff time, he plays like a great player. Right? In the past two postseasons, Donovan Mitchell is averaging 35 points per playoff game. He's been incredible. We'll see if he can knock off the Clippers. Because the NBA, I've always said, and I still believe this, but the NBA is all about the stars. How many stars do you have? How good are those stars in the big moments? For the Clippers, they have the two stars. The issue is that one of those stars, Paul George, is not good enough in the big moments. Brooklyn, they're the best team in the league because they have three stars, more than everyone else. And not only that, but their stars are as good as they come, and they're good in big moments. Kyrie Irving has made big shots in championships. So too has Kevin Durant. James Harden's the one exception, but he's the third option, so that's okay. You have two other stars that can step up in the big moments. That's why without James Harden, they're still leading the series 2-1. And if you were to rank the duos remaining in the playoffs of the eight teams left, power rank their best 1-2 punch, the Hawks would be number 8 on that list. Because while they have Trae Young, they don't really have a second guy to go with them. They have a bunch of role players instead. The Nuggets I would put at number 7. Because they have the MVP in Jokic, but Jamal Murray is hurt right now. They don't really have that second guy either, and a center can't win on his own. He needs help. The Jazz, I would put at number 6. Because Donovan Mitchell, as I've been laying out today, is remarkable in the playoffs, but he doesn't have that second star scorer either. Rudy Gobert is fantastic defensively, not good enough offensively. And then I struggled at the 5th spot, but I guess I'll slot the Suns there with Devin Booker and Chris Paul. Chris Paul has always been good in the postseason. His issue has just been health. He seems to be able to be playing right now, and him and Devin Booker are a good 1-2 punch. But I put them at number 5, and I put the Bucks. I hesitate, but I put the Bucks at number 4. because we saw the potential last night with Giannis and Middleton. Unfortunately, for their sake, they just don't play that big in the big moments enough. The Sixers I then put at three with Joel Embiid when healthy. He's been fantastic this year in the playoffs. And then either Ben Simmons or potentially Tobias Harris. The Clippers are number two with Paul George and Kawhi Leonard. On paper, that's definitely the second best duo. You just have concerns about Paul George in the playoffs. And number one, the Nets. Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving, throw James Harden in there if you want. That's the best duo. The Jazz are only six on that list with Donovan Mitchell because they're a team with one great star that they've built around with role players. And I've always believed you need stars, multiple stars to win the NBA. And I still think that rings true. But every once in a while, there's an outlier, or every once in a while, you get a disruptor. And that could change how things work. It could even, if they're powerful enough, if they disrupt things enough, they can change that industry, or in this case, the league and how they operate. Right, Netflix changed. They disrupted how we got our entertainment. Now everything is just streamed. Amazon, they disrupted everything. Right? Lyft and Uber disrupted the transportation industry. Can Donovan Mitchell disrupt the NBA? How it's all about stars, duos, trios, star power. Don't even worry about the supporting cast. Just get good stars in there. But if the Jazz can somehow pull this off, and I don't think they can. I don't think they will. But if they can play well enough, Donovan Mitchell can play that well in the postseason and continue to do so, and say they get matched up with the Nets, it puts a hypothesis to the test, I suppose, of what does it come down to? That star power, or can you have one great star, because that's how Donovan Mitchell plays come playoff time, and just give him a good supporting cast? Do you need a bunch of stars without a supporting cast, or one star with a good supporting cast? We haven't seen that play out in a decade, where the lack of stars beat the team of stars. Go back 10 years ago when the Heat had their big three with Bosh, Wade, and LeBron, and they lost in the NBA Finals to the Dallas Mavericks because Dirk Nowitzki played that well and had a good supporting cast. That would be Donovan Mitchell. And what I find interesting is when I look at my power rankings of these eight teams stacked in order by best duos, of the top four, only one is in the West. So the West, three out of four teams are more about the supporting cast. In the East, three out of four teams are more about the star power. And we very well may get a matchup of East versus West, where you have in the East, the Nets are providing that star power. And in the West, you may have the Jazz, where they have fewer stars but a better supporting cast. And we'll find out who wins out. If that were to be the matchup, as good as Donovan Mitchell has been, I don't think he and the Jazz are good enough to handle the Nets, especially if James Harden is healthy. But every once in a while, you get that disruptor to come along. Could it be a Devin Booker? Could it be maybe even a Jokic? Could it be a Donovan Mitchell? Where they show that you can win. You don't need a second or third star. Instead, just give them a good supporting cast. Have that one really good player. And instead of giving him more star power, give him just more depth, more support. Multiple guys who can score. Maybe not to the level of him, but multiple options to play off of. And Donovan Mitchell, when you go back to those levels of clutchness, like it's Dante's Inferno, except for the most part with better outcomes. Unless you're at that bottom circle, unless you're Alex Rodriguez or a Paul George and you're at the bottom of the clutch hell, where truly you are in a hell type of environment. For Donovan Mitchell, he's towards one of the top circles with how good he plays in the postseason, how far he elevates his game compared to from the regular season to the postseason. And we'll see if he can continue it with the Jazz. And if they can, and they can somehow go the distance as the number one seed in the West, maybe he would even be a disruptor. Because other teams in the league always look at the champions to try to shape their team around them. Like, what do they do to get there? And they see, ooh, the Hawks, the Jazz, the Suns to a certain degree, the Nuggets to a certain degree. They don't have a big three. They just have a really great player and enough talent around them. Maybe that's what we should do. We'll see if Donovan Mitchell can keep this up or if the Clippers can erase another 2-0 deficit. Speaking of the NBA playoffs, the Atlanta Hawks continue their series tonight with the 76ers. Is this the biggest game for the franchise of the Hawks in a generation? Stephen A. Smith believes so. We'll get to that when we come back. It's the Mauro Midday Show right here on ESPN Radio.
Spend lunch with Luke.
Yo, what up?
What's the word, big fella? Everything's good on this end.
Hey, Luke, how's it going? Thanks for having me on the show.
Great show. You did a good job.
You're turning into rapidly my favorite person I've interviewed with, and I've done like 50 of these in the last week.
You've done your homework. I like it. I absolutely like it. I love that.
another great thought.
You know, it's uncanny how you do this, Luke. And I don't know how you do it, because I do this gauntlet of radio on Thursdays, where I do all of these different cities. Many of them need their hosts to have me give them some talking points. You hit all my talking points every week. It's uncanny how good you are.
Appreciate you guys being right.
Very impressive.
Shout out to all the people that support the show.
Tell your friends. Tell your friends.
On the Morrow Midday Show.
Coming up is tonight, the biggest game for the Hawks in a generation. We'll get to that in just a moment here in the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow on ESPN Radio. This is the last reminder I can give you. The 2021 Summer Golf Tour continues on Monday at 8 a.m. when foursomes go on sale for the Plantation Course at Edisto for $98.9. It's week 6 out of 10 of our 2021 Summer Golf Tour, and each week sells out within 30 minutes. So set your alarm. Write it down on the calendar. Give yourself a reminder. Whatever you got to do, Monday morning, 8 a.m. Log on to charlestonsportsradio.com and purchase one of those foursomes for 98.9. You can head on over to Charleston Sports Radio for the latest information, or, again, starting Monday at 8 a.m. to purchase your foursome. CharlestonSportsRadio.com, the 2021 Summer Golf Tour. If you ever miss anything from the show, you can also find the show podcasted right there at CharlestonSportsRadio.com by simply clicking on our show page. Or you can search Charleston Sports Radio. That's not it. You can search ESPN Radio Charleston wherever you find your podcasts. And if you download our new app, free in the App Store, by searching ESPN Charleston, you can also listen to the podcast there on that app at any time. Earlier, I was talking about a couple of things. I was sharing my pet peeves of being at the gym where people don't bring headphones, and also sharing my experiences of realizing I do things really because that's what my parents used to do. Joe, do you do anything that you realize, oh, I got this from my parents without even, I guess, realizing you're doing it because of that?
Well, it dawned on me years ago, I think I developed some of the spending habits. You know, I don't really buy too many frivolous things and stuff like that. You know, I don't really need it. Nah, not going to mess with it.
That's a good trait to have inherited.
Now, my wife, at the time, my girlfriend, at one time, she was bringing home a lot more food than the two of us really needed.
Yeah.
And, of course, since she was going through the drive-thru and ordering all this food, and I said, why are you ordering so much? Then it dawned on her that, oh, I do that because that's what my mom was always doing.
Mm.
And I had to point out to her, her mother was buying for a family of five. There's only two of us.
Right. Simple arithmetic. See, that's a good one. Yeah, maybe you use coasters now. You get upset when friends come over and they put their drink on your table without using a coaster. Maybe, you know, you love dad jokes. You don't go outside with your hair wet anymore. You tell everybody, hey, you got to wear a jacket. It's cold, whatever it is. Right? Or you order a bunch of food because you realize that's what your parents used to do. But they would do it for more people in the family. We all turned into our parents eventually. Whether you like it or not, you'll do things that you realize, oh, that's because that's what my parents used to do. For me, they're the common ones. Always got to turn off the lights. Always got to close, you know, the cabinet doors or anything. Whatever you got in your kitchen, your drawers, your cupboards, keep those doors closed. And then also the other one being that when you get home from a gym, a game, you're outside playing, whatever it is, and you're sweating, do not get on the furniture with your nasty, sweaty clothes. Sit on the floor instead. And I do that now. Now I watch these playoff games. I'm laying on the floor for 2 hours watching playoff games until I hop in the shower. Because I can't sit on the furniture. Joe, when you go to the gym, anything, when you go to the grocery store, anything, how often do you play things on speakerphone or play things out loud for everyone to hear?
I don't.
Yes, that's right. Good man. If you go to the gym, I don't want to hear your Family Guy episodes. Bring headphones with you. Nobody's got time for that. If you ever miss anything from the show, you can always catch it on demand, ESPN Radio Charleston, however you listen to your podcast. You'll do something this weekend and realize, oh, yeah, I do that because that's what my parents always used to do. Is tonight the biggest game for the Atlanta Hawks in a generation. Game three of their playoff series with the Philadelphia 76ers, and this one is at home. Stephen A. Smith for his Stephen A.'s World, a show you can watch, I believe, on ESPN+, made the case, this is a long clip, but worthwhile, made the case that this is the biggest game the Hawks have had in years when they welcome in the 76ers tonight.
This is the Atlanta Hawks' biggest game in a generation. Let's be very, very clear about that. Game three, series knotted up, playing at home, packed house. A chance to put legitimate fear into the hearts of the top-seeded Philadelphia 76ers. To take a huge step towards the Eastern Conference Finals. Been a long time coming. 30 years since Atlanta last had a player that got you on your feet.
Oh, my goodness! Did you see that jam? I don't know how he did that. Dominique!
The human highlight film, Dominique Wilkins. Remember him? Right there with Michael Jordan as an offensive talent in the late 80s, at least in the eyes of some. But Dominique's Hawks never even got to the conference finals. Neither did the Hawks of the 90s with Dikembe Mutombo, Mookie Blaylock, and that dude with a beautiful name, Steve Smith. Atlanta did make the conference finals just 6 years ago. That was 2015. With a top seed in the East that season, too. But come on now. Al Horford, Paul Millsap, Jeff Teague, coached by Mr. Regular Season himself, Mike Budenholzer. That crew wasn't exciting anybody in Atlanta or anywhere else. Got swept. Swept out. By LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers, by the way.
This is the best team they've had in a long time, but everyone kept saying they're never for real.
But this Hawks team that has the makings of something special, a franchise on the rise, a young and athletic front court, a head coach in Nate McMillan who's made all the right moves since taking over, and of course, the aptly named Trae Young, the new face of the franchise.
Have fun, boy. Have fun, boy.
Confident, dynamic, playing like the superstar the Hawks hoped he'd be when they acquired him on draft night in 2018. Developing before our eyes, pushing the Hawks to contender status long before anyone thought possible.
If I go to Atlanta, I'm going to a game to see Trae Young and his impact on the game of basketball.
Atlanta, stand up! Atlanta, stand up! Get loud! The future you've been waiting for has finally arrived.
Stephen A. Smith on tonight's game for the Atlanta Hawks at home against the Sixers is the biggest in a generation. Three reasons why tonight is a big game, because obviously for the Hawks, you can take a series lead with a victory. They stole home court in Philadelphia. Now you return home. Say you win the next two at home, you take a commanding lead in this series, which takes me to the second reason why tonight is a big game. Because if you win this series, the Hawks would be in the Eastern Conference Finals for the first time in 7 years. And we were not expecting that from Atlanta this year, especially when they had to fire Lloyd Pierce and were, you know, not far from the bottom of the league at the time. And then the third reason why tonight is a huge game is because Trae Young, as Stephen A. mentioned, because he is that next star of Atlanta. And while the Hawks have had good players over the years, outside of Dominique Wilkins, they've never had that star in terms of when you talk about the biggest names or players or most exciting people to watch in the league. I mean, you never really brought up anybody from the Hawks other than Dominique. Even when they were good a few years ago, led by, you know, Joe Johnson and Al Horford, those weren't the names. They didn't have the same cachet that a Trae Young could. So tonight's a big game, and, well, this is a big series because Trae Young has already introduced himself on the national stage and in the big spot, playing well in these playoff games. But also, at home tonight, second round of the playoffs, the Sixers are coming to town. You think you have the player in Trae Young. And let's see how he continues to play in this series for now, the home crowd. Three reasons why tonight is a big game. I've talked about it before, about Trae Young versus Luka Doncic. And it's funny, you know, Luka Doncic, I would rather have Luka on my team. But Trae has now won a playoff series and has done so in his first postseason, whereas Luka has not won a playoff series just yet, losing in the first round the last 2 years. And I guess it goes against what I always thought, where I thought Trae Young would be a great player but couldn't be a winner. He's proven me wrong this year. And I've always said I'd rather have Luka Doncic. I thought it was a bad trade for the Hawks on draft night to trade Luka for Trae Young. But you know what? So far, I mean, Luka Doncic, as great of a player as he is, and he needs more help in Dallas, but the knock on him is, yeah, great player, but You know, can we wait till he wins a playoff series before I recrown this guy? They were up 3-2 against the Clippers this year and let it slip away. Meanwhile, Trae Young, they beat the Knicks, and now if they beat the Sixers as well, and suddenly the Hawks of all teams are in the Eastern Conference Finals, that'd be a real feather in the cap of Trae Young. And even though I think Luka Doncic is the better player, and I even think he'll have the better career, I think Trae Young could be a better fit for the Hawks, better fit for this, for that franchise, right? For what they're looking for. Luka Doncic, I think, is better off. He, you know, Luka Doncic played. He played professionally in other leagues, but he's come over here, and these international players have maybe an unfair reputation, but they have a reputation of being unable to handle, you know, the big moments and the big spots, and they're kind of soft. That's the reputation. They don't want to take the last shot. We see Luka complain. He's a great player, but we see him complaining all the time. He's even said it himself. Yeah, I got to complain less. And I think that would work better in Dallas than in Atlanta. And when you have the Hawks who, I mean, they have a, you know, Dominique Wilkins statue. It's all about Dominique. I think Trae Young is that more, I guess, electrifying player that he could come in and fill those shoes a little more than Luka. I think Doncic will be the better player and have the better career. But I think the better fit for Luka is in Dallas and the better fit for Trae Young is in Atlanta. I think they're where they should be. We'll see if Trae Young and the Hawks can continue on in this series against the Sixers and pull off a real surprise of somehow getting that team in the Eastern Conference Finals after the way the season started. I did not think Trae Young could win playoff series like this. And if he wins this one against the Sixers and gets the Eastern Conference Finals, ooh, I mean, he's probably already proven me wrong, but that would be a huge step in the right direction for his first postseason as well. Let me tell you about Lyerly's Dry Cleaners. Now at their to-go service, they can pick up or deliver right to your home or office. And they handle shirts, suits, and casual wear, as well as curtains, comforters, and regular old household laundry. You can even track your dry cleaning to see exactly when it'll be ready or delivered. Just call or text them, 843-377-6994, and you can schedule a free pickup today. And here's the best part. Mention that you heard about Lyerly's right here on ESPN Radio Charleston, and you'll even get 20% off your next order. You can't beat it. Can't get more convenient than that either. Lyerly's Dry Cleaners, now their to-go service. Check them out. Got a lot of things we'll try to squeeze in before we're done for the week. We'll come back on Monday and do it all over again with plenty to react to from over the weekend. But coming up, winners from the potential college football playoff expansion, as well as Cam Newton's kryptonite, and also, as we head into the summer and we start to get back to, you know, quote-unquote normal, you may be visiting more people, or you may have people over at the house. What are the worst things you can do as a house guest? If we have time, we'll get to that today to help you out in case you're going on some trips this summer. Don't make the mistakes of many. We'll get to that. It's the Morrow Midday Show right here on ESPN Radio.
Now back to the Morrow Midday Show on ESPN Radio.
Coming up, if Cam Newton is Superman, then we have found his kryptonite. Plus, the winners of a potential college football playoff expansion. The Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. Hey, there's a blood drive going on today until 4 o'clock. If you're in the area, you got a little while longer over today at Cruz Subaru. If you want to donate blood today. And if you can't make it over there, no problem. We have more opportunities next week. Monday and Tuesday of next week, Cruz Chevy with a couple of blood drives going on from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. All donors will receive a complimentary certificate for an oil and filter change, tire rotation, and more. You can sign up today at redcrossblood.org and use the sponsor code CRUZ. Walk-ins are welcome, but they certainly prefer appointments to be made online. Redcrossblood.org, sponsor code CRUZ. Monday and Tuesday, Cruz Chevy from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. Save a life, give blood, and you could get something out of it as well other than just feeling good that you're helping others. So Cam Newton, right, we know he's got the whole Superman thing, and he does that celebration and everything. We may have found his kryptonite, and it's giving nicknames. We got this story yesterday about Mac Jones. He and Cam Newton, the two quarterbacks in New England, and Cam apparently calls him Mac and Cheese. Right, Mac Jones, Mac and Cheese. I think it's very unoriginal and pretty corny. I think it's one of those nicknames you give somebody, and they think it's like a cool thing, but then like people are kind of laughing behind your back. I think that's the whole thing. Cam Newton's competing with Mac Jones for a starting job. He's his rookie. I think he wants everyone calling him Mac and Cheese, right, on the team. And Mac Jones probably thinks like, all right, right, they like me. I even got a nickname, but really they're calling him Mac and Cheese. They're not laughing with him, right, kind of laughing at him. There may be some of that. Although Cam Newton has always been terrible at giving nicknames. I don't know. He has a thing where he has to give all his teammates nicknames, and for somebody who loves giving nicknames, they're not all that creative. For his center, David Andrews, he calls him Dirty Dave. For left guard Joe Thuney, he calls him Smokin' Joe. For Isaiah Wynn, his left tackle, he calls him Winnie the Pooh. Isaiah Wynn, Winnie the Pooh, right? You get it? For the right guard, Shaq Mason, he calls him Free Mason. Ryan Izzo is Buzzo. Rex Burkhead is Berkey. That's fairly obvious. He calls the twins, Devin and Jason McCourty, he calls them twin number one and twin number two. Very creative. I mean, at least go thing one and thing two. Julian Edelman, who wears number 11, was known as Highway 11. N'Keal Harry, his nickname is Doughboy. Jarrett Stidham is Stiddy. Brian Hoyer is the Hoister. Demiri Bird is Little Bud. Jacoby Myers is My Germs. I remember that from Scary Movie 2. But Jacoby Myers, My Germs. Josh McDaniels is Mickey D's. I love the Bill Belichick. Dollar Dollar Bill, y'all. Meanwhile, Bo Allen is Bo Diddley. J.J. Taylor, Small Fry. Sony Michel is Sone. Why not like Sony Walkman? Former quarterback coach Jed Fish, who now leads Arizona. He was Jedi. And there's a few more. He's named everybody on the team. Isaiah Ford is 30 for 30, not sure why. And then these are the best ones. The kicker, Nick Folk, was known as Kicker Guy. And the punter, Jake Bailey, was known as Punter Guy. And now you have Mac Jones is Mac and Cheese. Oh, and long snapper, Joe Cardona, is known as Snapper Guy. So he got real creative with the special teams. Damian Harris is Dame. James White was Jay White. And Gunnar Olszewski is Gun Show. Dante Moncrief is Creef. Oh, I could keep going here. Look at all these names. Backup quarterback Jake Dolagala was State Farm. Jake from State Farm. He's named the whole roster. Not a lot of good nicknames in there, though, including Mac and Cheese for Mac Jones. That's not the best one either. We wait on college football playoff expansion because I imagine it is going to come. It is going to become official this month, and it will be put into play 2 years from now in 2023. There are pros and cons. Overall, I welcome more football games. I just don't think when it comes to the playoff or crowning national champions, it will change or solve very much. But like anything else in life, there are always pros and cons. The ability for Group of Five teams to have Power Five teams come play on their campus in the first round of the playoffs, that's a pro. That would be cool. Teams that would never have those opportunities otherwise. A Coastal Carolina that could have a Georgia, for example, come play on their campus. Georgia would never go there normally. That's a cool thing for the Coastal Carolina fan base or program. More games. You get more games, right? That's a good thing. Maybe more games can become of interest at the end of the year, right? With more teams fighting for those last few spots, it makes more games at the end of the year mean more. Others are concerned that this could actually do away with conference championships. Others believe it may water down the regular season. Obviously, bowl games become even more meaningless. So there's pros and cons, and it depends what you want out of the sport or what you like. Which parts of college football do you like that could change? Which parts of college football do you not like that you think this could improve? Everyone obviously has their own opinion. My personal opinion, I've shared it before, I don't think you need to go more than four teams. I think four, if it's about crowning a champion, I think four is the perfect number. But if you're going to tell me we get more football games, all right, I'll sign up for that. We're going to get the same champions anyway, so we might as well play more football games to get there. But who are the winners in all this? I gave you seven earlier, and I think us, the fans, are a winner, but I put them at the bottom of the list, number seven. You get the first round games on campus. Like I said, for that Group of Five team that will go into the playoff, they'll get to host, probably, you would imagine, every time, a Power 5 team in the first round on campus. That's a cool moment. You get more games. That's a win for fans. But I do think a lot of these games will continue to be blowouts. So that's why I put the fans at only number 7. Then the Pac-12 is at number 6. The group of 5 is number 5. Because now they will always be included. They won't be excluded anymore. Now the Pac-12 has obviously been included more in the playoff than the group of 5. Group of 5 has never been involved. That's why this is a bigger win for the group of 5 than the Pac-12. The Pac-12 now doesn't have to worry, are they actually going to think about us this year? Will they actually consider us? You'll be in there. And the group of 5 had zero chance to ever reach the playoff. If the playoff continued on with only 4 teams, the group of 5 would continue to always be excluded. So this is a big win for the group of 5 that they'll have not only some team representing them, but also, as I understand it, those will be the teams that most likely you'll get a home game. Right, they'll be a top seed instead of one of the bottom 4 seeds, the group of 5 team that will be there, you would imagine. At least certainly there's a possibility. So now you get to host a game on your campus, a playoff game. Not only are you in the playoffs, but you can have one of the playoff games on your campus. That's a big win for the group of 5. But I only put them number 5. Number 4 of the big winners of this potential expansion, if and when it happens, is the Big Ten. Because the Big Ten could have one of the biggest increases in playoff teams moving forward. Of the last 7 years with this 4-team playoff model, the Big Ten gave us 6 playoff teams. But if that model was the 12-team that we're talking about now, they would have had 20 playoff teams in the 7 years instead. 20 instead of 6. That's a big upgrade. The Big Ten will really benefit from this by getting more teams in the playoff. Which takes me to the number 3 winner, the SEC. Greg Sankey, commissioner of the SEC, wanted to expand to 12 teams for a reason because he knows, well, it's going to be a third. Right, at least a third of that field is going to be SEC teams. And the SEC has already had a team in the national title 14 of the last 15 years. They've put 5 different teams there during that stretch. And this will give them an even greater chance to win championships. If we had this 12-team model the last 3 years, the SEC would have had 4 playoff teams all 3 years. So Greg Sankey, you're already winning national championships, and now you can stuff the ballot box as well. You can make the playoff field so that a third of the representatives will be from your conference. Of course he wants this. This is a big win, or will be a big win for the SEC. The number 2 winner is the top teams in college football. Now, Clemson, you can afford one of those slip-ups against Pittsburgh or Syracuse or, you know, if you do play a Georgia week 1. And it's no sweat off your back. Doesn't matter. Right, you're going in with 1 loss anyways. Probably even 2 losses. Same idea with Alabama. Run through the gauntlet of the SEC. Okay, you lose the Iron Bowl, you lose to Georgia, you lose a non-conference game to, who knows, they're playing Miami this year. They're not going to lose that game, but hypothetically speaking, somehow you do. That's fine. You're still a playoff team. No worries. The top teams, Clemson, Ohio State, Alabama, probably even Oklahoma. This makes things very easy for them because they'll still get into the playoff now. You got 12 teams. They'll still get in with 2 losses. Right? Clemson this year, playing Georgia week 1. If there was a 12-team field this year, Clemson's already in today, even if they lose to Georgia. It makes every one of their games pretty much irrelevant, unless they really start slipping up and they lose a couple of games, but we know that wouldn't happen. Clemson would be written into the playoff field every year at the start of the season with this path that they're on. Same with Alabama. Same with, you would imagine, Ohio State. Probably even Oklahoma most years. You can lose 2 games, still get in. So for the top teams in college football, it makes their job a lot easier, less stressful. They're going into the playoff no matter what. They're not losing 3 to 4 games. They're not going to be, when is Alabama, Ohio State, Clemson, even if they have a surprise, even if they're upset once during the year, when are they ever going to be outside of the top 12? Right? It won't happen. And, of course, the number 1 winner is the NCAA themselves. That's why they're doing this, because of the money. We just had a pandemic. We had a bad year. I just read a tweet earlier about South Carolina. It was at a $21 million deficit, I think it was, for the past year because of the pandemic. Their athletic department down $21 million. Right? All these teams, these schools are hurting. The NCAA is hurting. And not having March Madness last year cost them $1 billion. They're the big winner. That's why we're getting this now. We've been talking about expansion for years, but why does it happen all of a sudden? And they're moving very quickly in all this. Notice how this has happened, this 12-team thing. I first heard about it 2 or 3 days ago. And now they're probably going to sign off on it in 2 weeks. Happened very quick. Why is that? Because they need the money. The NCAA is the big winner in all of this, and that's why we're getting playoff expansion. Just don't think that this is going to somehow really change the crowning of champions. The playoff will still be SEC heavy. It'll still be the same teams holding the trophy at the end of the year, and there'll still be plenty of playoff blowouts like we're used to seeing.
And unfortunately, there's still going to be plenty of politics as to who gets in.
Yes.
A la 2017.
Yes, that as well. Now, at least there'll be a spot reserved for, you know, the Pac-12 and the Group of Five. But then once you get to your six at-large teams, the same thing's going to happen, which will always happen. If we go to eight teams, right, you'll have the same issue. The politics involved in the 9, 10, 11 will be upset. You go to 12 teams, we're still going to have these arguments moving forward. Teams 13, 14, 15 are going to feel like they got left out. You go to six teams, well, teams 7, 8, 9, they're going to argue. Right? It's always going to happen. That's always going to be part of it, and that will continue to be part of the process.
That's why I say just eight teams, only conference champions of the top independent eligible, or just scrap the entire playoff and just have the five major bowl games have top 10 tie-ins and top 10 ranking tie-ins instead of conference championship tie-ins, which was the original problem.
Yeah, I don't know if 12 is necessary. I do like the idea of eight. I've always said if we do expand, yeah, do eight. Do the five. Group of five, there's six. You only need two at-large. Do we really need to take six at-large teams? Do we really need to take, like, the 12? Let's make sure we get the 12th best team in there. Is that necessary? Again, I'm all for extra football, more football. I just don't know how much is going to change with all this. But we'll see what it's like when it goes into effect, most likely in 2023. Seems like that's the direction that we are headed in. We'll wrap up your Friday when we come back and wrap up the week. Get ready for the weekend when we come back. It's the Mora Midday Show. Right here on ESPN Radio.
Spend lunch with Luke.
Attention campers, lunch has been canceled today due to lack of hustle. Deal with it.
On the Morrow Midday Show.
Fun a funky finish to your Friday afternoon and the work week as we get ready for the weekend. Don't have enough time to get into it now here in the Mora Midday Show with Luke Morrow on ESPN Radio. We'll have to save it for next week. But I found a survey of the most annoying thing house guests can do. And I find this stuff always very interesting. So if you're planning some trips this summer, if you're having people at the house, if you're staying at someone's house, we'll get into that next week. The things you shouldn't be doing if you want to be a good house guest. Hey, you can take the Mora Midday Show with you wherever you go. Simply stream us online at charlestonsportsradio.com or through TuneIn Radio or your smart speaker. Or now with our new app, which you can find in the App Store. Just search ESPN Charleston, and you can listen to the Mora Midday Show on your phone at any time from anywhere in the world. You can even find the podcast on the app. Not quite available just yet for Droids. We're getting there, but on your iPhone, you can get that app for free today. Appreciate listeners checking in from at least seven different states today and multiple countries. It's been a fun week. Appreciate you hanging with us. And it's been very international this week. We've had listeners from the Virgin Islands, Germany, Algeria, Sweden. I think there's another country as well throughout this week. Always appreciate you hanging with us. If you ever miss anything from the show, you can always catch it on demand. Just search ESPN Radio Charleston however you listen to your podcast. Or find the show on demand at charlestonsportsradio.com or, again, on our new free app. Just search ESPN Charleston, in your app store. Tonight, the biggest game the Hawks have had in years. And we're back on the air Monday. We'll react to the weekend of sports, including everything going on in the NBA playoffs. I think the Brooklyn Nets take a 3-1 lead over the weekend, and the Clippers better respond against the Jazz if they want to stay alive this weekend as well. Whatever happens, we'll be here on Monday to break it all down. Life is a series of hellos and goodbyes. For now, we have to say goodbye, but we'll say hello again Monday at noon. It's the Mora Midday Show right here on ESPN Radio.